Hey, Sister Amon.
Hey, Brother Tupos.
What is your favorite place to hand out gospel cards? I think I know, and I was going to share it with everybody. Bus stops.
Oh, I wouldn't say my favorite place, but yeah, it's one of them I like doing it at.
Hope you're all doing well. We're coming to you for our edification audio today. We are at one store, and Sister Amon said, I'm going to walk over to this other store where you want to go.
Oops.
And I was talking to some brothers on the phone, and as I'm driving over to go meet her over there, because I had to go pick up some stuff for the van on a project I'm working on, I see her handing out gospel cards to five people at a bus stop. That was pretty awesome. You like that, Sister Amon?
Oh, yeah. I love giving the truth of God's word out to people.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, at the bus stops, you know, they're just like sitting there, maybe looking at their
phone.
They're
nothing to do. They're waiting.
Hanging out and talking. So something new comes along, like nothing new under the sun. The gospel's been there, but it's new to them, I hope.
And I was telling a brother, a lot of times bus stops are with the lowly people. They don't have cars.
Yeah.
It might be old, retired people. It could be some homeless people waiting for a bus. A lot of times you're reaching people that are like kind of like the low end of society.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
So, yeah, we get to reach out to them. So,
yeah. I think they probably a little bit surprised, and they're like, I don't know. I guess if I was receiving one, I'd be like, wow, you actually took the time to give it to me.
Yeah, while you're reaching out to me. Yeah.
So
that's kind of neat. A lot of them are more receptive to it than people in their big fancy cars driving by.
Yeah. They don't have quite
We find that all the time. Homeless people and lower end people are much closer to the kingdom of God than rich people, because it's hard for them to inherit the kingdom of God, as Jesus said.
Oh, yeah. The Bible shows that. Yeah.
What's on your mind today, Sister Amon, as we're sharing some good edification and ideas and thoughts and experiences and scripture and anything else?
Well, we probably got lots.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I was just going to share a couple witnessing things that went on.
Go for
it. So this morning, I went in the store to do a witness walk. I needed a couple things. And so I was walking up and down the aisles, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back by their discount bakery just to see what they got going on. Well, I hardly ever buy it.
And you scored, too.
Yeah, I did. I scored by being able to give the gospel out to a woman there, and we had a really good conversation while I was standing there holding a pumpkin pie. I saw it up on the top shelf, and she's really short. I said, when she was standing there, I walked up to her. I said, wow, I don't know. Somebody must have really overbaked too much here, because they had all kinds of stuff. And she goes, yeah. And I said, I could look for something on the top shelf if you want to look, because she's too short to see. And I grabbed a pumpkin pie off. For us, it was $1.50.
$1.50 for a pumpkin pie. We had some, and we gave the rest to the brothers.
Right. And so I gave her a gospel card, and we stood there for several minutes, or I don't know. It's hard to say. But we had a really good conversation, anywhere from the gospel to man-made religion, the divisions, the lies, the warnings, and end times, Antichrist. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was a really good conversation. And then another one. Brother Tupos said that I was walking down, and he drove by to the hardware store where we were going to meet up after I gave out the gospel cards at the bus stop. And I went in the store. He was on the phone with the brothers. And I went in the store and did a witness walk there, and I was walking up and down the aisles, and I saw down at the end of an aisle a woman in one of those scooter chairs. So I kind of wandered down the aisle, and she had a part in her hand. She was in, like, the plumbing.
Mm.
And I just walked by. I said, if there's anything up on the high shelf or hanging up high, if you want me to get it for you, I will. And she looked at me funny, and I said, I don't work here. I just was like offering, because she's looking at me like, oh, okay, because I don't look like I work there.
Right.
And I said, I was just coming by to see if you needed some help. She goes, no, I'm just trying to figure out which one to get. And I said, well, tell you what, I'll go get somebody to help you. And she's like, wow, that would be nice. So I gave her a gospel card because I didn't know if somebody would come help her before I got back. And she was, like, so thankful, and I found somebody to come help her. So, and then in that store, many other people got gospel
you're getting
cards,
good
too.
You're getting good at handing out those gospel cards inside a store while you're looking for deals. So, yeah, that's kind of
I've been trying to share
ministry in itself.
Yeah, I like sharing those tips for you, sisters, so that way you can maybe learn how to see those for yourself, too.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I guess I had a thought. Today I was talking with a brother during his work break, and he was talking about overcoming like some thoughts from the past, and he's learning how, we all have to do this, he's learning how to not focus on the thought, to cast it down quickly, and then how to give God glory for helping him cast it down, rather than commenting on the bad thought, put it down quickly, and then give God glory. So he's learning how to do that. And 2 Thessalonians 10:5, casting down every imagination, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So he's learning how to do that. So it's a good, he's a newer saint. It's a good thing for all of us to learn, is to cast down all of those things and take every thought captive for Christ.
Right. And there's a lot of things we got to do that with.
Yeah, thoughts are just one of them, but yeah, that's a good scripture verse, and he's learning how to do that, so that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah. Anything else, Sister Almond? We'll just go back and forth here.
What if I said, no, I had nothing? That would be a sad thing.
I'd say, what's your problem?
I'm not going to do that, though.
You better bring forth.
I know, we do. Even if we're, like, super tired, there's always something to bring forth. How about this? You ready?
I'm ready.
So the sister sent in, they've been doing a lot of sewing, and they sent in a picture, and Brother Tupo said, what is that? And I said, that's bias tape. And I gave him an example.
Never heard of that, bias tape.
I gave him an example that a man could understand. I said, it's like U Channel.
Yeah, that made sense.
You can explain what U Channel is for people who don't know.
Yeah, U Channel is just like a U-shaped piece of wood or plastic that you put like on a corner. It would protect a corner, or it would protect your head from it, or it would bring two pieces together. So, yeah, U-channel. Yeah,
and so bias tape, for somebody who doesn't know what that is, it's not tape. It's, I'll just say, it's like fabric that's ironed and then
makes a U-channel.
Ironed in a way that makes it like a reinforcement for the edge of a piece of fabric that you kind of...
For like a top of a pocket or something.
On the outside of it. Yeah, and then you sew it on there. It just gives a nice reinforcement on it.
The sisters are making some pockets for their van home, and they're making a bunch of pocket organizers, and so that's what they're doing it for.
Yeah, one of them made me some. I love those.
Yeah, so it's awesome.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, that is. That was a good way that you explained it.
You know, that kind of reminds me of a while ago, I gave Brother Tupos a fluffy blanket. This was when we had our other van, and it was way colder than this one. So I always have a fluffy blanket, just a real small one that lines the edge of the side, my side of the bed, and I can kind of cuddle up with it when I roll over or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or if it's really cold in the middle of the night, you can kind of slide it over you. Well, I gave one to Brother Tupos one time, and I told him what I do with mine, and he said, oh, that's kind of like caulk.
Yeah.
You know, like caulking up the air draft. I was like, okay, that's the way a guy would think about that. Yeah. I thought it was like a fluffy blanket in the corner.
Oh, whatever works for us.
Yeah, I know.
To understand it, yeah. Speaking of that, projects, if we said projects, I'm working on a new van project. I'm making some signs for the side of the van, so when we're driving, I can flip them down, and then when we get to where we're on private property, we don't want signs on, they flip up real easy, so I'll have some pictures of that coming up soon. Hopefully I'll get them mounted tomorrow, but I won't have the letters on yet. And I gotta buy a couple other parts for it, but that's kind of a neat project that I'm working on.
Yeah.
So the van, it's going to be bigger signs on the side of the van, so when we're driving or parked, people can see some gospel messages on the side.
That'll definitely stand out.
Yeah.
I think it will. That's awesome.
Your turn.
Well, I just made observation just shared with the sister, so I thought I would share it here too. I made a little post on it on the women's area on Don't Perish because I thought it was just something interesting to think about, and I might explore it a little bit more. But old age and the benefits of it, and I wanted to read Proverbs 16:31. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. And so I was thinking about that when I was witnessing to the older lady. She was like super, super old. Like the kind where you can almost see through her skin.
Yeah.
She's like really old and really feeble. And I was thinking, I'm of an age that I can have maybe a little bit of the respect from the older people, even if they might not like what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm getting closer to their age bracket. And then on the other hand, I've been there, done that with the younger people. And so you kind of, I'm thankful for the age I am. Because
you kind of reach both spectrums.
Yeah, I do. And it's just, I don't know, I was just thinking about that today, and I was just sharing that with the sisters. And I forgot, I had something on here, and I forgot what it was, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's nice, though. I know what you're saying, because that's the same way with me. I get to reach and witness the older men to older men, and I can still remember what it was like, and I can witness to teenagers or 20-somethings, And I'm kind of in that in-between age where it covers both bases, where if you're really young, you're really old, it's hard.
Right. I know. It just came to my mind here. I was thinking it's the opposite of what the world wants, you know.
Yeah.
In your flesh before Christ, you know, you want to be like young and looking like all that, so everybody's looking at you. But then when you're in the Lord and you get older, you're like, you really don't care about any of that. I mean, you shouldn't anyway, because you're more focused on the kingdom of God. And so the world always obviously has everything opposite of God. So to grow older and more wise and more mature or complete is what the Bible says. Sisters, that's something you want to look forward to if the Lord gives you those days.
And we're one day closer to eternity.
Exactly. Another sister said that I was going to go there, but yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. So just some
because we're not supposed to love this life unto death. So we don't want to be holding on to this life. We want to be looking towards Christ and the next one to come.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's easier said than done, because you can get caught up in this life to where it's like, oh, I just lived this life. This is where I just belong. This is where I'm going to stay. And it's like, we don't belong here. We're not staying here. We're just vapors. We're going to be moving on.
Yeah, you want to keep that in front of you so you don't get complacent.
Yeah. In 100 years, everyone's going to be gone and all new people will be here if the Lord tarries.
Right, and like Solomon says, Ecclesiastes, you know, everything he worked for is going to go to maybe a fool who didn't even work for it.
Yeah, amen, amen. I got to go back to the van. I got another project I'm working on the van, and I'm going to be getting shocks for the front and the back, and my one brother says he wants to help me on it, so I got to have a helper. Working on our shock project coming up. And remember the last time we changed shocks on our other van? Did it make a difference?
I think I gained a little bit of health from that.
Our other van, we would rattle around. I said, maybe we need shocks. I put new shocks on. Man, it was like night and day. It was like the difference between driving on a rough, rocky road and driving on some pudding.
Compared to it, it was smooth. Yeah, the vans that we have, they're, what do you call them, a stiff suspension. So
they're 1 ton.
Yeah, so more like it's a truck frame. A car, you know, where you just kind of sway in and out of the bumps. You feel them all.
Yeah, these are heavy-duty suspension. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to putting some shocks on, so that'll be awesome.
I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. And then today, you heard part of this. We had a talk with the brothers, and we were talking about languages.
Mm-hmm.
And one brother has a foreign language that he really doesn't use anymore, and we were talking about the need to keep it, and I won't go into all the details of it, but we got into a really good conversation about whatever we have and we're using and we're propagating should be used for the gospel. If we don't use it for the gospel, like a language, if you have a language that you're never going to use for the gospel, let's say you speak Swahili and you live in America and you're never going to go to another country that doesn't speak English, maintaining that Swahili, we talked about it. It could be prideful, meaning, oh, I know how to speak two languages. Are you ever going to use it? Not really. What do you need it for? I don't know. And so it can become prideful. It can become fleshly. It can become something that you hold on to for all the wrong reasons. So I don't know. You heard some of that conversation. Did you have any thoughts on that today? The brother said it was a really good conversation, and he was pondering it all.
Yeah.
Oh, also, we were talking about singing hymns in a different language. That someone might know hymns and then other people hear it and it could stumble them and all that type of stuff. So there was a lot of kind of nuances to this discussion.
Right. Well, I'm not bilingual, but I've had some French in my past and things in sign language and things like that. And your mind is a little bit different when you think about how to relay from one language to the next. And I think something like that could possibly end up putting like some kind of a division within you, or maybe pulling you one way or another that doesn't necessarily need to be. Not saying, I guess I'm trying to say it in a nice way or whatever, but in my mind looking at it, I would think that it could possibly be that way. I mean, because I guess, I don't know, from a practical sense, anytime you have something that you don't need and you're not using it,
you got to ask yourself why.
Yeah, I mean, if it's possessions, if it's thoughts, if it's
especially languages too, because it can be, and this brother got it. It can be a barrier if you hear two people talking in a language you don't know, and they're talking. It doesn't draw you closer to them. It actually becomes a wall.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So you got that, and we talked about why we talk about this stuff and bring it up, because a lot of other stuff comes out of it. And we really had a good time on the phone. We were laughing about it, and I was giving a little bit of a hard time, and we were going back and forth about the topic. So it turned out to be a really good topic where everybody kind of got something out of it, drew close to each other. And he said, yeah, I can kind of see your point, what you're saying about that. So think about that. Whatever you carry over in your life, hopefully you're using it for the gospel. If not, you got to wonder why you're carrying it, because the gospel and the things of God and God's glory is all that really matters.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes we can carry things we don't realize that are not necessarily like useful or might be a hindrance to something. You know, until you get rid of it, you might not realize.
Especially when you start talking about handing it down to children and stuff, you got to go, why?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So that was a good topic that we talked about.
Lots of good thoughts on it.
Yeah. We do that often as brothers. We come up with a topic, we start talking about, and out of it springs a bunch of other topics.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we do it.
Yeah. And we all get to, and us sisters and stuff too, we all get to reflect on ourselves, and it's like things kind of touch one another and bring other things to light. So,
and it's awesome when everybody wants the truth and loves the truth and then loves each other, because you can talk about this stuff and people don't get their feelings hurt. They don't get mad. They don't storm off. It's like just an open forum where you can put thoughts and ideas out there and compare them to scripture. And it's a really healthy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it should be.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Your turn, Sister Ami. Anything on your mind?
Well, I do have another one before my scripture verse.
You do?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Talking to the sisters today and asking them, what would you say if you're on the street?
Are you asking me or are you asking them?
No, I'm telling the story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I was just saying, I was talking to the sisters today. And I said, so, if you're on the street and somebody walks up to you and says, what's your favorite Bible verse?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
If we get this a whole lot because, you know, people will walk up to us and ask us, or you're sharing the gospel with them and people go, well, what's your favorite Bible verse? It's like they want maybe just a little piece of it, but they don't really have anything else there. And so don't quote me on this, but this is generally what the sister said. And then I'll share what I would say. One sister said, well, we live by every word out of the mouth of God.
Matthew 4:4.
Yeah. Meaning she wasn't just going to pick one. I thought that was really good. And the other one had a good, come back on it too. She said, that's a good question and something we can get to, but can I share the gospel with you?
Yep. Took it right back to the gospel.
So
both good answers.
Yeah. And this was like sprung on them. They didn't get a chance to think about it. So this is awesome. And if somebody asked me that, I'm going to say, well, mine would be in Mark 26, go preach the gospel like Jesus said. And that's what I want to do to you right now is share the gospel with you.
Wait, what'd you say in Mark what?
Mark 26. It's 16 must be.
Yeah.
I must have
Mark
put
16.
A, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
My notes.
I just wanted to correct that.
Yep. I put a 2 in there instead.
Yep.
Wow. See, I didn't even catch that. Duh. When you said Mark 1 and I said 26, I'm like, wait a minute. That's not right.
I thought maybe you wrote down the wrong number.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Yeah. Mark 16.
You. So to give. So the main topic, I'm just going to use or would use, you know, go preach the gospel and then go right into it because that's what we need to do. So just sharing that with you sisters or anybody listening that might be thinking about how you can learn how to take things on the street and turn them right back to the gospel, keep it right focused where it needs to be.
Yeah, if you're going to do street ministry, you definitely got to learn to think on your feet. That's why I like to spring questions on the brothers and sisters. And sometimes when they're talking, I like to break into their talk and say something and see if they can keep the thought, because it's good training to be able to hold your thought, get interrupted, get a question that you're not thinking about. It teaches you to walk in the spirit and stay focused.
Right.
Yeah. That's what we like to do. So, let's see what else we got here. We have a young brother doing a study on the cross and bells. I thought this was a good one. He came up with it. I've got an article on cross. I don't think I have an article on bells, and he's looking at all the pagan ways that are involved in bells and crosses. A lot of it has come from the Roman Catholic Church. And we were talking about tonight how a lot of people think that Jesus carried a cross beam and he got pulled up and made into a cross. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It clearly teaches he was carrying a stake and he was nailed and hung onto a stake. And the cross is really a pagan symbol. It comes all the way back from, goes all the way back to the 3rd century with Constantine. But he'll be bringing a study on that and we'll have it up in the Ecclesia Forum, and that'll bless people when they hear about that. Do you ever think about that when you hear bells?
Oh, yeah.
If that's biblical or not?
Yeah, there's so many different things that are pagan that have been brought into the so-called Christianity world. So, it's good to expose all that.
There's only one place bells show up in the Bible, and that's on the priest's wardrobe when they used to go inside the Holy of Holies. and they had bells on the bottom so that people could hear they were still moving and not dead in there.
Yeah, I know, we were talking, that's frightening.
That's the only place we see bells being used in the worship of God. Now they've got them on buildings, they got the priests carrying them, ringing them, and we're in the New Covenant now, we don't do that Torah law, so...
Well, if they're going to use bells, they ought to be putting them on their robes, shouldn't they?
Not, oh, yeah.
Hanging them from their,
they should have them on their robes, they should have tassels on, they should have phylacteries, the Word of God hanging from their eyes, they should be slaughtering sheep, they should be in Israel.
Yeah, I know, this could go on and on.
Yeah, all of that. So, yeah, that'll be a good topic that'll be coming up.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then probably from that will come another topic.
Yep. And then guess what? I didn't even talk to Sister Umman about this. I walked into that store to get my sign material for the van, and I saw my first big display of Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to read this. No, everybody says, oh, come on, Christmas trees aren't bad. It's not from the Bible. Ready? Jeremiah 10, 2 through 4. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the sign of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. Does this sound like a Christmas tree, Sister Amen? For they cutteth the tree out of the forest, they work it with the hands of the workmen with the axe, they deck it with gold and silver, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, and it move not. Does that sound like a Christmas tree to you? Go in the woods, get a tree, bring it home, put gold and silver on it, and make sure it doesn't fall over.
I'll tell you what, me being ignorant of the Bible and not reading hardly any of it when I was born again, and when I saw that, I was like, done.
Yeah.
Done with this.
Isn't that crazy?
Christmas pagan. Yeah, that's exactly what it is, but it astounds me how people look at that and they go, well, it's not talking about a Christmas tree. People aren't worshiping it.
It's a residual of that pagan practice. And then I saw a little Santa hat, and it said Merry Christmas on it. And I took a picture of it, and I put it in our edification forum. And I said to everyone, hey, Merry Christ's death. What a wicked way. And this young brother went and looked it up, and he goes, I never knew it meant that. Merry Christmas in Roman Catholic terminology means Happy Christ's death.
Yeah, that's why I say Christ Mass.
And then he said, Santa walked around going, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Uh-huh. Merry Christ's death. Like we're celebrating that Christ had to die for our sin. I know we're supposed to acknowledge it. We're supposed to proclaim it. But they're celebrating it in wickedness with reindeer and all this foolishness. And it's supposed to be his birth, by the way.
And they laugh about
their tradition is supposed to be his birth.
Yeah, and you know what else is interesting about that? So Christ's death, everybody's exchanging gifts for it. When else are they going to exchange gifts? In Revelation.
Yeah.
When the two are dead laying on
yeah.
the street.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a perverted. Look at Santa. It's real close to the word Satan. And he knows all, right? Or he sees you when you're, there's a lot of similar, Satan doesn't know all, but Satan knows a lot of things. And, there's a lot of similarities in this wicked pagan holiday. It's falls on the winter solstice, and there's all types of things that just it have is, nothing yeah. to do with Christ.
No.
And so, yeah, I saw that. I saw the trees, and I saw the Merry Christmas. Now, that really made an impression on a young brother. He's like, that means Merry Christ's death. That's wicked. And I said, amen, brother, it is.
Yeah.
What a deceptive holiday. And then let's not forget about, I got an article on this at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com, the spirit of Christmas. There's a spirit that comes over
everybody.
Now, I'm not telling you there's a literal demon spirit of Christmas, but there's like this spirit, this air about Christmas where everybody looks at Christmas and they're a little nicer and they buy gifts and they're smiling more. It's like so phony. Right after that, in January, everybody's back to hating each other and complaining and moaning.
I think it's almost kind of like hypnotism, power of suggestion.
Mass hysteria, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is, because even if you don't want to do it, there's a lot of people who really don't want to be spending the money and the time, and they see it's foolishness, but they get swept away in it, and then, yeah, it's like even the ornery people. I used to be ornery before I was in Christ. There were times I was like a really mean person, but there's something about that time I would allow myself to be kind, because you're supposed to be nice and kind and gentle. And it is. It's like it's weird.
Yeah, it
strange.
Is. It's not of God. It's not biblical. We got a lot of articles on it at our website. So, yeah, I just wanted to post that and read that about the Christmas tree. And then all of this holiday, we're supposed to be worshiping Christ in spirit and truth. And the holiday's full of nothing but a bunch of lies and false traditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I was pretty shocked when I found out Christmas was pagan. But I knew, I knew nobody had any answers about it before I was in Christ. I would ask questions. Nobody had an answer. So it wasn't
literally
shocking to me to find out it was false.
Go read Leviticus 10, where God kills two priests because they brought strange fire, strange worship before God. Christmas literally is strange fire. Mm-hmm. It's us telling God how we're going to worship him.
It's horrible.
Yeah. It's demonic.
It's not even about him. It's about everybody and themselves.
Oh, I'm glad I thought of this, too. I was going to say, and you know, another big sign that Christmas is not of God, the world that doesn't even believe in Christ loves it.
Hey, you just made me think of something. Can I share?
Sure.
Because I didn't want to cut in on you. Years ago, I knew this woman who was claiming Christ. This was way, way, way long ago in the beginning of our walk. And she had an atheist son. And I was undiscerning then, and I was asking her, why are you so close to an atheist? And she said at one point, I won't go into all the other things she said. At one point, she goes, well, he must believe in God because he celebrates Christmas. I was like, to the world, it's not even about God. Yeah. I mean, it's all about themselves and gifts and
trees
like
and
that.
Gifts and being off of work and feasting and football and all this
right.
stuff.
And right then I was telling her, doesn't that even prove to you that you're not supposed to be celebrating Christmas?
Yeah.
Because she was new too.
Yeah. Easter and Christmas are highly esteemed by the world. The book of Luke says what the world highly esteems is an abomination unto God.
Right. There's so many just opposite sides of it. It's pretty easy to see if you're looking.
So, and also, last thought on Christmas, it is a great time to be ready to proclaim the good news and the biblical gospel, because a lot of people do say things or they have their mind on it. A lot of people say to strangers, Merry Christmas. And it's a great time to say, can I tell you about that? We used to have a tract we used to hand out just for Christmas, and we would give it to people. Oh, they don't like it because, man, you're throwing water on their pagan Christmas and telling them it's not of God, you need to repent of it. Woo! People get mad about that. But the truth needs to go out.
They do. Yeah, they think it's all about love, but Satan doesn't love, so they're just celebrating what his day is set up. But we are truly loving them by trying to tell them the truth.
Yeah, and there's no love in... There is no love of God as we practice these lies.
Yeah, and one quick note on that. When we witness to people at Christmas time, we don't sit there and tear down Christmas because you end up using the time and then they get mad and leave. You just quickly say something and bring it right to the gospel where they need it.
Yeah, they need the gospel because if they were truly born again, they'd be searching out Christmas for themselves like we did.
Yeah.
They need to be told you're being deceived by man-made religion. Christmas is part of the problem. If you were alive in the gospel and alive by the Spirit of God, you'd be testing. You'd come out of the world. You'd come out of every false ways. Christmas is just a worldly thing that people need to come out of. False religious way. And if people are born again by the gospel, like you said, we need to focus on that. They would come to themselves and they would be seeking it out. And they would be asking questions, not doing it, loving it, and just accepting it as a false way.
Right. And we meet a lot of people who they nod their head and go, yeah, I know it's pagan. My wife loves it.
Yep.
My mom.
Yep.
My husband, whoever it is, whatever it is, and they get drug along with it.
Yeah. And if
we can be an encouragement to them.
Yeah, and if you leave the holidays of Christmas and Easter, you become like a pariah to the churchianity. Well, they think you're a Jehovah's Witness because the Jehovah's Witnesses have that right. They don't celebrate Christmas or Easter. They actually have that one thing right. As soon as we tell people we don't, they go, you must be Jehovah's Witness. We're like, no, we're biblical Christians. Biblical Christians didn't celebrate it either.
I know.
So that's a good topic, and it's that time of year, so get your mind right about that. Check out the articles at don'tperish.com and the teaching blog about Christmas, and then be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you.
Yeah, it's crazy. They haven't even gotten to their Thanksgiving holiday yet, and they've got all the Christmas
They had this stuff out weeks ago.
I know,
I just walked by and just saw it.
Yeah.
Once Halloween's over, then it all comes pouring out.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes before.
Yeah, amen. You got a scripture verse for us today, Sister Evan?
I do. I have Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light.
Yeah, I like that. It's kind of like that matches my verse about casting down every imagination. Cast off the works of darkness.
Yeah.
That's a great verse.
And put on the armor of light.
Amen. Yeah. Walk in the light. Christ is the light. I'm going to leave us with Malachi 4:1-3. This is kind of an interesting area of scripture. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. This is terrifying. And all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. What happens to stubble in fire? It gets burned up. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. That reminds me of 2 Thessalonians, Christ coming back in flaming fire. Mm-hmm. That it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked. And they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. That's some pretty ominous promises coming for those that practice and do unrighteousness and wickedness. That would be Christmas, churchianity, willful sin, worldliness, all of that. Pride, vanity, all of that's going to come and be destroyed when Christ comes back.
Yeah, loving and practicing a lie.
Amen.
There's a lot of those dire promises for those people who do that, so I hope they heed them.
And last thought, there's a brother doing a teaching on the promises in the book of in the New Testament. I did the one on the promises in Revelation. He's going to do it on every book in the New Testament. It's going to be a big teaching. He'll probably break it up into pieces. So
yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Anything else, Sister Armin?
Love to the saints. Hold fast. Keep looking up. Dark times coming, but we have the light. Put on the armor of light.
Amen.
I love that.
Go forth, work while it's day. Night is coming.
Right.
We hope you all have a great day, afternoon, evening, wherever it is. And remember, walk as his remnant till he comes back. We're here to help you in that.
Amen.
Love you all. Check out don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel. You seekers better repent and follow him. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. And if the Lord wills, we'll be coming back tomorrow as we're waiting on some brethren to come down to start traveling with us and go out preaching again. But we're going to be looking for some events coming up while we're around here. And the gospel's going out every day.
Oh, it is.
Right
all
where
over.
We are.
Oh, yeah.
So be a worker right where you are, and God will bless your efforts.
Amen.
We do not labor in vain.
No, we don't.
All right. Love you all.
May God be praised.